All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you, and first and foremost, we just have so much gratitude for all you do for us, Lord, and what you've done, what you've already done, Lord, and thank you for showing us how that we can obtain these things in our Christian life, your promises, Lord. We ask that we hear your word tonight. And we understand your word, and we put it to use, Lord. And in your name, amen. All right. Well, I had a few things on my heart that I wanted to look at, and this one here was the second one, but. And the way that I thought about them both and started thinking about it and discerning it, I think it's better to start with this one, which will lead in to the first thing. So we're probably going to be going for a few weeks, maybe months or whatever, to get through it all. But this is just an introduction tonight, on kind of where we're going to go. So we'll just get to it. Everyone turn to Revelation 19. I'll start in verse 11. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. So if you haven't figured out, we're talking about Jesus here. 12. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now, out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule with them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of the Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So, speaking about Jesus here, and he had many crowns. He had many crowns on. And we could ask ourselves, where do you get these crowns from? Where do you get these many crowns? I mean, usually we're used to seeing somebody wear one crown, but he had many crowns. Looking at Google, it says that he has all these crowns because he is the King of Kings and he's the ruler of all kings and all kingdoms. And I was like, okay, that's one thing. That's Google's opinion, whatever. I don't disagree. Could be right, whatever. But that's just what Google said. But we will look more into it. And the ironic part that I see in this is he wears many crowns in heaven. But remember, on earth, they mocked him with a crown of thorns. So there's some contrast there of what who he is in heaven and what he was on earth. Of course, we knew the stories we read, we knew that he had the authority on earth. He could have used it any time he wanted to, but that wasn't what he was here for at that time. There will be a time, but that wasn't then. Okay, so I want to show you some things. Let's just turn back a few pages to 1 John 3, verse 2. I'll probably just read starting one. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, Now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So when it is revealed, we will be like him. Go back to Philippians 3, 20 and 21. It says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. So Jesus will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body. And one more, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 49. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. So my point in reading these three scriptures is to say, we saw a picture of Jesus in heaven, and we see in the Word that we will be like that also. So that's what I'm pointing out through these three verses here. So, right, we saw that he had crowns, he had a robe on, and his was dipped in blood. I think we know why. He had a name that only he knew. Okay, so let's start with the white robes. Let's turn to back to Revelation 19.
Danny, what was that 1 Corinthians 1? Was it?
15:49. And that's a good time to interject. I have this piece of paper here written in pencil and chicken scratch. And that's all I have. But Casey took a picture of it, threw it into her magic AI machine, and it produced all these notes. So we will email that to Kendra, who can put it on the website with the recording. So you can cross-reference your own notes with it afterwards. So it's crazy magic that's happening in this world these days. Okay. So we're back to Revelation 19, right? This time we're going to read 6 through 9. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. For let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. So the white linen, the bride of Christ, which is the church, is going to be wearing white linen, and that white linen is the righteous acts of the saints. So when I read righteous acts, I'm thinking we are righteous because of Christ, but this white linen we get to wear is from righteous acts. You guys understand? You following me? I think that's Chris Valentine. You guys following me? You following me? Okay, I'll move on. Let's go to Psalm 132. Psalm 132, verse 9. Just one little verse. Let your priest be clothed with righteousness, and let your saints shout for joy. So, white linen robe. Be clothed with righteousness. Just looking at it, how they how the word correlates righteousness with clothing. Isaiah 61:10. says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. So even in the Old Testament, they were the God's word was coming through the same as that we heard Jesus's in Revelation. All right. Back to Revelation. I want you to see something in verse 3. Start in verse 14. Revelation 3, 14 through 19. We've got a lot to talk about in this one. Think about this. He's writing, well, Jesus is saying this to the church of Laodicea, right? And he's telling John to write it down. In verse 14, he says, and to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, I've become wealthy, and have no need of nothing, and do not know. Oh, and then he says, and you do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Okay, so he's writing this to a church, right? And he's telling the people, you're neither hot nor cold. You're just kind of apathetic. You're just maybe coasting. He tells them at the end, therefore be zealous and repent. So there's no zeal going on. All right, but what I want to point out is what they think they are, they think that they're rich and we're wealthy and we don't need anything. But Jesus tells them, like, it's actually the opposite of what you think you are. Okay, so what you think that you're rich and you don't need anything, well, this is what's that church doing? They're looking at with their carnal eyes, right? We've been talking about this on Sundays. What they can see around them, hey, I'm doing good, right? Jesus is telling them, actually, it's the opposite. He says, buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich. So if you're truly rich, you have heavenly riches, not the riches that you think, okay? So sell whatever you have to buy gold from me. Do what it takes to store up gold from him, right? The heavenly gold. And white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. See, this was a church, right? And they're not going to lose their salvation, but you're going to be naked when in heaven, right? So they have not clothed themselves with the righteous acts that, so if the white linen is the righteous acts of the saints, they have not clothed themselves in that. Jesus says, actually, you're naked. You don't have that. Okay. And anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. They have no spiritual eyesight. Their only eyesight is their carnal eyesight, what they see around them. I'm doing good. Like, you can't even see that you're messing up here. So everyone I love, I have to rebuke, and that's what I'm doing to you right now. I'm correcting you because you don't have this. All right. So you have no spiritual eyesight. You're only looking through your blind carnal eyes. So anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. I remember when we went through a study on zealousness and, zealousness, eagerness, all that is a focused thing, right? If I'm gonna be zealous for something, I'm totally like, I'm going after that. So this is what Jesus counsels them to do. I counsel you to all these things and to be zealous and repent. So listen to my words and change. Okay, let's go back to Romans 13. So those in Laodicea, they were Christians, just right, but they were naked Christians. So hate to get up to heaven and find out that you're wretched and you're naked, but you're in heaven, which is going to be not as bad as it is here if you're naked and wretched and blind and all those things. I'm sure it's still going to be great because it's heaven. But if the Lord's going to show us that, well, let's get clothed in some white linen. All right. Okay, where are we at now? Romans 13. Let's look at verse 11 through 14. Paul writes, "And do this, knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day. Not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts." Clothe yourself in Jesus. Jesus is righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God in him." So it says, put on Jesus. And I'll show you another one in Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 17 through 24. "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness and with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which goes corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." In this verse here in verse 24, "and that you put on the new man," that put on is the Greek word endio. Endyo, and that was on the ones where it was put on and put off. It's that word endio is means to sink into a garment, to put on a robe. So that's what that Greek word means in that where they translated it to put on. So when you say put off, it's like take off the old man and put on the robe. I think I was listening to a podcast about lessons from Joseph or something, and they were talking about that robe that his dad made him, the one of many colors. Well, one of the reasons why the brothers were so angry about that robe was because when a father would put a robe on a son or someone he highly esteemed, it meant you're an inside cat now. You're with me. You're going to be getting trained to do what I do. All the other brothers, they're working in the fields. They were farming. They were doing the hard labor. But this guy, he's an inside cat because he got the robe. And remember the prodigal son, right? He comes, you know, dad's got a ring and a robe for him. That robe is royalty, you know, it's favored. So, yeah, I got off there, but I just remembered that about that thing about Joseph. Okay, so we too will be wearing right robes, right? And they will be from the acts of righteousness from the saints. Okay, let's look at these crowns that he was wearing. The Bible mentions five crowns. And first, we have the imperishable crown. Turn to 1 Corinthians 9:24. Okay. 9:24, one more page. Says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. Doesn't that sound like Jesus in Revelation saying, be zealous, be hyper focused on this? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run this, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. It's a weird way of saying that he won't be disqualified at the end. So the imperishable crown, my notes say it's earned through self-discipline, mastering one's flesh, and faithfully finishing the Christian race rather than giving in to selfish desires. These notes say this crown is connected with self-discipline, self-control, mastering our desires, running the Christian race faithfully, finishing rather than giving in to fleshly desires, just like the verse says. Earthly athletes compete for a crown that eventually perishes. Believers are pursuing an imperishable crown, an eternal reward. So we need to run with purpose and discipline yourself because you're running for something eternal. That's the reason for your zealousness. It's eternal. You're going to have this forever, all right? Okay. Next, the crown of rejoicing. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 17. All right. 1 Thessalonians 2, 17. But we, brethren, having been taken away from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored more eagerly to see your face with great desire. Therefore, we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For you are our glory and joy. So, crown of rejoicing, we can call it the soul winner's crown. Bringing people to Christ. Paul describes the believers he helped bring to Christ as his hope, his joy, his crown of rejoicing. This crown is associated with bringing people to Christ and investing in their spiritual lives. They are eternal reward connected with people whose lives were changed because we faithfully shared Christ with them. And I'll be honest with you, this is what I was thinking about. When this started to open up to me, I'm like, man, 40 years in church and I'm not bringing people to Christ. You know, we talk about outreach and those kinds of things. And I'm like, I'd be lacking this crown if I was to do a self-evaluation of myself. You know, I want the crown. I want it all. And we'll get into that next week. But I'm like, okay, all right, I see where I'm lacking here. And as I was kind of thinking on this, all the rest of this stuff opened up. So we'll keep going, but that's kind of, this was the crown that I was thinking about bringing people to Christ that I have not done much of. We've always just worried about ourselves and taking care of the body, but I need to get a crown for bringing people into the body. Okay, let's go look at the crown of righteousness. And that's just a couple pages over in 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 through 8. Paul says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." Couple things about this. This is a crown for faithfulness and loving Christ. All believers who love the Lord have this crown waiting for them. You remember on Sunday, we're trying to like teach ourselves, like we need to see the things spiritually, right? We're talking about healing, but who are we? Well, I have a glorified body in my spirit. Well, I need to see that now so it'll manifest in the flesh. Well, Paul right here, he had that vision. He had spiritual vision. He knows exactly what's going to happen to him when he gets there. He says, again, on that day, or I'm sorry, finally, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. Like he knows this is going to happen. It isn't like, I heard that he might, kind of, and I was reading something or, no, he knows it. He has those spiritual eyes. He's not blind in heaven like the wretched people of Laodicea. He can see spiritually. He knows this and he knows it for a fact. And I just saw that as the correlation, what we had been talking about on Sundays about how we need to see spiritually. We need to see who we are. We've been talking about identity for a while. And what are we talking about? Who God says we are. Well, God says who we are, but it's who we are spiritually. And it's up to us to start seeing those things. So I see very clearly that Paul, he had that. He had no issues with that. Crown is associated with faithfulness, finishing our race, keeping the faith, eagerly looking forward to Christ's return. There's that word again, eagerly, like zealous, right? Let's look at crown of life. James 1, 12. We're almost done, guys. And like I said, this is just the intro into what we're going to be looking at. Do you remember when we talked about, how we're supposed to speak the truth in love and we're like, it's all over the Bible. I mean, you can look through the whole thing and we just kind of gloss over it a lot, but it's throughout the whole Bible about speaking the truth in love. Well, what we're going to look at here, these heavenly rewards and all this kind of stuff, it's all over the Bible. All you got to do is see it. It's everywhere. Okay, so James 1:12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. And turn over to Revelation 2. Christ is talking because it's in red letters. Verse 10. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation. You will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. So Peter tells us we'll receive a crown of life, and here's validation in Christ's own words that he will give the crown of life. For those believers who stay faithful to God through hard times, trials, persecutions, they endure, right? That which means to remain, not in a passive sense. They're fighting to hold their ground and stay faithful through all of these trials. Yeah, this endurance is not a passive thing. That's just the part I want to reiterate. It's remaining steadfast and faithful to Christ when your faith is tested. And you will receive the crown of life when you do that. Okay, one more crown, crown of glory. 1 Peter 5. These were all kind of in the same part of the Bible tonight. A few pages back and forth. 1 Peter 5, verses 2 through 4. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. There's that word again. Nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. It's for those who shepherd, and it's for those who are good examples to the flock. Shepherd God's flock willingly, serve eagerly rather than for dishonest gain, not lord their authority over people, and be examples to the flock. God eternally rewards faithful spiritual leadership, not leadership based on status or control, but leadership through service and example. Okay, those are our crowns. And so I'll go back to the very first question I had is, where did he get all these crowns at? He wore many crowns, right? Well, first I'd say he did all of those things to earn all of those crowns. If you read what it takes to earn those crowns, he did them. He did shepherd. He did endure to the end. He did remain faithful to God throughout the whole thing. He qualified himself for all of those crowns. Also, Revelation 4, 1:11, 1 through 11. Let's look at that. It's our last verse tonight. Revelation 4, starting with verse 1. After these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, "Come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this." Immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne, and he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance, and there was a rainbow around the throne, in appearance like an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal, and in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion. The second living creature, like a calf. The third living creature had a face like a man. And the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within. And they do not rest day or night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and they were created." So the 24 elders, they take their crowns and they take them off and give them to the Lord and say, "You are worthy." So maybe that's how he got all those crowns. But I don't know. I don't have an answer for you. It's just a question to ponder. But I want to earn crowns. I desperately want to have those crowns in heaven. I don't want to be wretched and naked. I want to have white linen. I want to have many crowns like my Lord. But the day I get to see my Lord and Savior, what could I give him for all he did for me? Lord, you take my crowns. You know what I mean? Maybe that's why he's got all the crowns, because that's what we all want to do too. Like, here I am in heaven. I have nothing. I have so much gratitude for you with nothing to give but what I earned. Here, it's all yours. You know what I mean? So, as I was thinking about, he's got many crowns. You know, these are some of the things I've thought about recently, but that's where we're going to stop tonight. And we'll keep going down this road. A lot of stuff's going to relate back to this as we read the other things. So, that's why I felt like this could be our foundation, as far as I want to eagerly and zealously go after these crowns. And religion will tell you, well, you shouldn't be serving God for, to gain something. And it's like, well, I'll show you in the Word where it tells me I should. So well, that should be our mindset, to go after it, not be passive and just float down the river. No, we should be getting after it and trying to do these righteous acts that we will be rewarded for us. If he didn't want us to get in a reward, he wouldn't have told us about it. So that's where I'm going to end tonight. Any questions, comments, anything, disagreements?
I was gonna say that I've heard that they think that 24 elders are a representation of the f like full completion of like the redeemed church. So anybody that has been saved and goes up, so that is almost like a representation of us. What one thing we'll be doing in heaven is casting our crowns back onto Jesus. And kind of the idea behind it, like you said, is that even though we are striving to receive something, the ultimate fact of it all is to still give glory back to God, because we're giving him back the crowns that we receive. So, again, it's not, striving for something for this like selfish personal gain. At the end of the day, it all ends with the glory of God, glorifying him with it. So.
Yes, I agree with all of that.
Sorry, I got kicked off. Where are you at?
I'm right here.
I mean, are we talking?
Yeah, it's time to talk. You're up.
Oh, okay. That crown of rejoicing, the one that you kind of think that you don't have enough, Danny. But
Yeah.
I think we could broaden it a little bit, because it does include, teaching people, sharing Christ, discipling them, encouraging them. You know what I'm saying? Pouring into the people. That's part of that, because that is a people crown. It involves people. Does that
Yeah, and
make
invest
sense?
in their walk.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm coming through because I just got kicked off.
I can hear you.
Okay. And just helping people continue in their faith or get excited about the Lord or.
It still makes me want to bring people to Christ, though, so.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of it, but I'm just saying you probably have that part, a little bit of that crown, because you're teaching us, Danny.
Yeah, I appreciate you building me up there. If I think about it that I'm lacking, then I will fight harder to keep doing it. So it's just playing tricks with my mind. I need this. I got to work harder.
Right.
Tells us to be zealous, to be eager, earnest, all those kinds of words. Those aren't passive adjectives. Okay. Like I said, this is the intro to where we're going. So we will get into looking at heavenly rewards and how Heaven has an accounting system. We'll see all these things, and we can relate it to our white linen, our crowns, all those kinds of things. So, and then we'll get into some other stuff. So, would someone like to pray?
Yeah, I can pray for us. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that we could get together and hear your word, Lord. We just thank you for what you are showing through Dan with this. Pray that it'll just sink in and rest on our hearts, Lord, and that we can take it in and use it and be able to mature our walk with you. I pray that you bless the rest of everybody's nights. In your name I pray. Amen.